This is Cicely Tyson. Made-up or true life stories have at least one thing in common. Whether you like them or not often depends on the ending. After all, who doesn't enjoy a happy ending? And doesn't everyone like to see the hero come out on top? Good fortune winning over adversity? A happy ending means it concluded successfully. It had a good finish. My horse came in. My kid graduated. I got a big order. We won the case. Success. A happy ending. Ah, but sometimes it's awfully hard to make things come out right. Listen to what happened to George Baker.
Address this to that Halverson fellow we were discussing this morning.
Yes, Mr. Baker.
All right. Inasmuch as payments have been delinquent 6 months prior to October this year, and since no attempt has been made to settle your outstanding account, we regret it will be necessary to suspend any further business with your organization unless full payment plus penalties are received by us before the month's end. Yours truly.
Excuse me, sir. Received by us before... I didn't get the last.
Before the month's end. The end of the month. What's so hard about that?
Before the month's end. I understand.
Look, if you don't like month's end, change it to the end of the month.
Oh, I'm not questioning the wording, Mr. Baker. I'm simply not hearing well.
You what?
Well, I saw the doctor last week. He thinks I should wear a hearing aid.
Oh, I kind of felt there's been something wrong. All right, if you need one, you need one. You can hide it under your hair.
I beg your pardon?
I said you could hide that hearing thing under your hair. Whole world doesn't have to know you're a little deaf.
I don't think it's any disgrace to be hard of hearing, Mr. Baker.
I didn't say that, did I? Look, don't go getting yourself all upset. Just see if you can get one that isn't too obvious. You still have to be out front and mix with my clients. I just assumed people didn't feel uncomfortable.
Which gives you some idea of the kind of person George Baker is. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, There Go I, by Shepard Menken. Our star, Tom Bosley.
If people kept daily records of their lives, they might be able to feed that information into computers and come up with answers to all their behavior and personality problems. But most of us don't know why we do the things we do. We act and react in ways that were shaped for us by past experiences and relationships. Who knows what makes George Baker the kind of person he is? I doubt if he himself knows why he behaves in a destructive way.
Hello? Yes, dear. Oh, well, for goodness sake. Yeah, I think you're right. We're out of vermouth. Thanks for reminding me. Now, I'll stop off on the way home. Bye. I'm going to leave now, Grace. My daughter's coming in from New York tonight. I haven't seen her in 3 years.
Oh, you must be so excited.
I'd be more excited if she wasn't bringing her boyfriend home. Nobody asked my opinion. Seems like I'm going to meet my future son-in-law. It's how do you do, sir? Your daughter and I are getting married.
Well, I'm sure you'll like him.
Yeah, well, I'll find out if I do or not after the third martini. Oh, that was a missus that just called. I got to stop off and get some vermouth. If anything important comes up, call me at the house. I'll be at the house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And try to get fitted up with one of those things, huh?
Will that be all, sir?
Yeah, that's it. What do I owe you? Oh, wait a minute. Do you have any roasted sunflower seeds?
Yeah, I think you'll find them with the nuts just opposite the imported wines.
Oh, thanks.
Hi, Mr. Baker.
Well, hello there.
Betty Halpin, Jenny's friend.
Yeah, of course. I didn't forget your name.
Oh, well, I always tell people right off. I refuse to give anyone a chance to be embarrassed if they don't remember me.
Well, I couldn't forget any friend of Jenny's. How have you been?
Fine, just fine. What do you hear from Jenny?
Well, she's coming home this afternoon.
I know. She told me.
She told you? When did you hear from her last?
I saw her last month when I was in New York.
Really? Well, how'd she look?
She's just blossoming. You won't know her.
Yeah. Is that good or bad?
Well, she's not as shy as she used to be. I guess you know she runs her own department at the ad agency.
Yeah, I know all about that. This boy she's running around with, I suppose you met him.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it running around with, would you?
You wouldn't? Well, maybe not. What's he like?
He's very nice. Didn't Jenny tell you about him?
Not much. She doesn't tell us about her personal life.
Then she didn't say anything. Say, what are you doing in a liquor store anyway, Mr. Baker? I thought you were a health food addict.
She didn't say anything about what?
What?
You started to say something.
Oh, yeah, I started to say something and forgot what it was. Happens all the time.
But we were talking about Jenny's boyfriend. Now, what were you going to say about him?
He's a nice guy, good-looking, got a wonderful personality. Everyone likes him.
What does he do?
You mean Jenny didn't tell you that either?
Listen, young lady, if there's anything you know that I don't, I think you ought to tell me. Now, I haven't seen my daughter in 3 years, and I hate surprises, so I'd appreciate it if you'd let me know whatever it is I'm not supposed to find out.
Listen, Mr. Baker, I don't want to get involved. Whatever Jenny wants to tell you, she'll tell you. I don't mean to be rude, but I wouldn't be much of a friend if I betrayed her confidence.
What are you trying to tell me? Is Jenny all right?
Jenny's just fine, Mr. Baker. She couldn't be better. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go.
Now, just a minute.
Please, Mr. Baker, I'd rather not be having a conversation with you right now. Maybe next week we can all get together. Bye.
Excuse me, sir. Is that your Lincoln parked out there?
Hmm? Oh, yes, that's my car.
I'll have to ask you not to park in that space again, sir.
Well, I only planned to be here a second. I just happened to run into someone I know.
Oh, that's not the point, sir.
Look, there are plenty of other parking spots. That one just happens to be near the door here, and I...
Well, that's exactly why the place is marked with the man in the wheelchair symbol, because it's close. Please don't park there again.
Oh, I won't. And I won't come in here again, either. I don't like being scolded, especially by people like you.
People like me? What does that mean?
I'm old enough to be your grandfather.
Well, I don't want to make a big thing out of this, only I think a guy who's been around as long as you'd be a little more considerate.
You know, you're a fresh kid. Who's your boss?
You're talking to him, sir. This place is mine.
Punk.
Oh, sir, you forgot your sunflower seeds.
Is that you, George?
I think so.
Do you remember the vermouth?
Yeah, I remembered.
Did you get anything for yourself?
I don't need anything.
Well, you should have. People don't like drinking alone.
I'll take some frozen orange juice if there's nothing better.
You're the only one I ever knew who wouldn't take a drink, even on special occasions.
I don't stop other people from drinking. What have I got to do with anyone else?
I know your philosophy, George. After 28 years, I ought to. But why can't you loosen up a little, for heaven's sake? Can't you have a little fun once in a while?
You know, you surprise me. After all this time, you still try to change me. I'd hope you'd know better. Put up some water for tea, will you?
Just wish you could be a little more social.
Your idea of social is sitting around with a bunch of people and joining in while they poison themselves with booze and junk food.
If it was all that bad, everybody'd be dead by now.
Yeah, well, give it time, honey. Just give it time. Who do we know our age who hasn't had a health problem, huh? Roy's had a bypass. Dorothy's got diabetes. Dave's arthritis is so bad he had to quit the bowling team. I don't have problems like that, and I don't want them.
Do you ever think you might be just plain lucky?
Bull. I take care of myself. Luck has nothing to do with it. Whatever a man gets, he deserves.
Mm, so you've said. When do you want to start the barbecue?
Plenty of time. Maybe I'll run around the block a couple of times before I start with the hamburgers.
Oh, please, George, not today. There's so much to do yet. I thought you were coming home early so you could help me.
All right. I'll have to get it in sometime before I go to bed.
Who'd know if you didn't jog one day?
I would.
I just wish you wouldn't drive yourself the way you do.
Well, you can call it what you like. If I've made a routine out of life, it's one I enjoy, and it's a pattern I'm not about to change.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Baker?
This is Mrs. Baker.
Mrs. Baker, this is Betty Halpin, Jenny's friend.
Oh, yes, of course. How are you?
Mrs. Baker, if your husband is home, please don't let on that I'm speaking to you.
Oh, is there anything wrong?
I saw Mr. Baker in the liquor store a little while ago, and I may have said something that gave him cause for concern.
Well, he hasn't mentioned anything.
I just didn't want to betray any confidence of Jenny's.
I'm sure you wouldn't, Betty. But Mr. Baker would have said something if you caused him any worry.
Is that Betty, Jenny's friend?
Yes, it is, dear.
I'd rather not talk to your husband if you don't mind, Mrs. Baker.
I'd like to talk to her.
What'd you say, Betty?
I said I'd rather not talk to her.
Give me the phone, Helen.
Mr. Baker wants to talk to you, Betty.
Hello? Hello? She hung up.
Few of us are ever prepared for the changes we find in people we haven't seen in a while. Our lives are pressed upon by joys, tragedies, new relationships, and change. But we imagine everything stays the same. Some of us can accept change, good or bad, and be content. Others aren't so flexible. They struggle and hold tightly to ideas of people and places that will never be as they were. Something's happened in the years Jenny's been away from home. George can't be sure what it is, but the meeting in the liquor store with Betty, Jenny's friend, ended strangely. Now she refused to talk to him on the phone.
As soon as I said hello, she hung up.
Is it possible you were disconnected?
I know when someone hangs up on me. That girl knows something.
Well, what could it be? She's been Jenny's friend ever since they were 14. I don't remember ever being rude.
She knows something. What's her last name again?
Halperin?
No, not quite.
Well, Halpin. Halpin.
Halpin, right.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for the telephone number. I'm going to find out what she knows.
Oh, don't you think you may be reading things into a situation that doesn't exist?
A situation does exist. I know when a person reacts abnormally. Now, I spoke to that girl less than an hour ago. She said she saw Jenny last month in New York, but she wouldn't say anything about her visit. I'm not mistaken about the look on her face. That kid knows something, and I'm going to find out what it is. What did she tell you just now?
She said she didn't want to give you any cause for concern.
Oh, is that all?
She said she didn't want to betray Jenny's confidence.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. Who are you calling?
What do you think?
George, if she doesn't want to talk to you, why not let it rest?
Hello?
Is this 555-3241? Is this the Halpin residence?
Yes, it is. This is Mrs. Halpin.
Oh, Mrs. Halpin, this is George Baker, Jenny Baker's father. Jenny's a friend of your daughter.
Yes, I know. What can I do for you, Mr. Baker?
Well, I don't know quite how to put it, but I ran into your daughter this afternoon, and she behaved, well, peculiarly. She seems to know something about Jenny, something I think I should be prepared for since my daughter's coming home late this afternoon.
Yes, I know.
Well, Mrs. Baker and I are, well, we feel your daughter should prepare us. I mean, she saw Jenny just a few weeks ago and...
Well, Mr. Baker, it seems to me that your daughter would have told you in her own way whatever she wanted you to know. Don't you think it's unfair to insist that Betty give you what may be privileged information?
What information?
Well, I didn't say there was...
Well, you as much as said there was. A privileged information, you said.
Oh, well, no, I didn't mean it the way you think.
Mrs. Halpin, I don't want to argue with you. Would you do me a simple favor and put your daughter on the phone?
Well, she doesn't want to talk to you, Mr. Baker. Now, please don't insist.
I'm afraid I must. Now, would you please put her on?
No, I won't do that.
Well, I don't know why you can't put yourself in my position. If there was something wrong with your daughter...
Mr. Baker, you're letting your imagination run wild. Now, I'm sure there's nothing you should know that Jenny hasn't already told you.
She hasn't told us anything. But there is something wrong. I feel it. And your daughter knows what it is.
Well, I don't see where this conversation is taking us. I suggest you wait till Jenny gets home.
I don't want to wait till she gets home. I want to know before she gets here.
George, it's no use.
Mr. Baker, apparently you refuse to take no for an answer, and you're putting me in a terrible position. Betty doesn't want to talk to you, and frankly, I can see why.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for your kindness and understanding. I hope you have occasion to call on me sometime.
You're a very difficult man, Mr. Baker, and I can assure you this conversation is going nowhere. Now, I do wish you'd say goodbye.
Seems a pity to me, Mrs. Halpin, that the parents of two kids who've been so close all these years have to be less than strangers.
What's past is past, Mr. Baker. But I think you'd do yourself a favor if you just accept the fact that our children are no longer kids. Now, I do hope you'll excuse me. I was preparing dinner when you called.
Well, why can't you understand?
Patty, what
I suggest that you take a drink.
Has I don't need your advice on how to think, lady. So thanks for nothing.
George, son of a gun. Grouchy as usual. I thought you might look a little happier with Jenny coming home.
Why don't you ever bother calling before you come over?
George?
Oh, that's all right, Helen. If we took George seriously, every time he said something, we wouldn't have been friends all these years.
Friends? Who said we were friends? The only thing we have in common is we both hate everybody. Only I'm happy about it.
Down, Tom.
Don't let it worry you, Helen. We didn't come over to see George anyway.
We thought Jenny might be home by now and we could say hello.
Say you're sorry, George, or I'll stomp my foot and pull my hair.
Oh, quit the clowning. I'm not in the mood.
There's something wrong, Tom. It's something with Jenny.
Oh. Well, gee, I'm sorry.
Is it anything you can talk about?
Well, we don't know. We don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is? I don't understand. If you don't know what it is, how do you know it's anything?
Tom, do me a favor, will you? I don't want to discuss it with you.
Look, if you got troubles, what are friends for?
I appreciate that you're worried about me, but I'm as jumpy as a raw nerve.
I think we better go, Tom.
I'm glad you dropped in, Patty. I feel so sorry we couldn't have a nice visit.
No, listen, it was our fault. We should have called first. George is right.
Oh, no. My Lord, if we didn't have you people, I don't know what we'd do. Why shouldn't we be able to pop in on each other whenever we want to?
See, I'm sorry, George. If you need me, call, huh?
Thanks.
We'll be home.
I'll phone you later.
Come on, Tom.
Everything all right?
Yeah, it'll burn now.
You never put enough starter on. That's why half the charcoal never catches
fire. You want to do it?
No. But if you're doing something wrong, I don't see why I shouldn't tell you.
The fire is fine. It'll be ready when we are. I don't like to put too much of that junk on. It makes everything taste like kerosene. You might as well start setting the table out here.
I'll go get the silver.
What the devil's the matter with me? I never felt like this before. Maybe that Mrs. Halpin's right. It's all in my head. But what? I don't even know what the hell's bothering me. Oh, if I ever catch that Betty kid in this house again, I'll throw her out. The nerve of that little hanging up on me. And that mother of hers. Like mother, like daughter.
George, they're here. Their car just pulled into the driveway.
I'll be right there. Well, this is it. Whatever it is, I'm going to know about it now. Well, why are you standing at the window? Why don't you open the door?
I want to see them first. I want to see her before she sees me.
What's going on out there?
Well, she's just sitting in the car. Her friend is reaching into the back seat for something. Why would he open the back door from the inside? Oh, George, on the seat behind him. Look.
Oh, my God. It's a wheelchair.
Everything George feared seems to have materialized. He's positive now his life is about to be shaken, that his suspicions and intuitions were all correct. No wonder Jenny's friend ran away from him in the liquor store, refused to talk to him on the phone. A sudden itching perspiration brings George's hand to his neck. His eyes won't focus, and his heart is throbbing in his head. He stands trembling beside Helen, hidden behind a curtain. They anxiously watch through the window, the parked car in the driveway. On the seat in back of the young man driving is a wheelchair. Primed by the events of the day, George is almost apoplectic in anticipation of what he feels will follow in the next moment.
Why are they just sitting there?
I don't know. Maybe she can't get out.
Oh, George.
Now take it easy, will you?
She's opening the door. She's getting out. Oh, she's getting out, thank God.
She's taking out the wheelchair. He's getting into it. Look, there's something wrong with him. You better get the door.
Mother! Oh,
Mother Jenny, it's been so long. How's my baby? Let me look at you. You haven't changed a bit.
You look wonderful, Mother.
Oh, I'm getting fat.
Aren't we all? Mother, I'd like you to meet Bill Benson.
Hello.
Hello. It's nice meeting you, Bill. Jenny didn't say too much about you on the phone. I mean, she didn't say anything about a wheelchair, about you being in an accident.
Bill hasn't been in an accident, Mother.
That's not true, Jenny. I did have an accident, Mrs. Baker. I hurt my back when I was 12. I can't walk.
Oh. Jenny didn't say anything. I thought there might have been an accident. Automobiles, you know, people just don't pay enough attention to seatbelts. They really ought to make it against the law for people to drive without fastening their seatbelts.
Daddy!
Oh, now just stand there till I look at you. Well, by golly, we certainly raised a beauty, huh?
Daddy, my fiancé, Bill Benson.
Pleasure meeting you, Mr. Baker.
Well, hello. Come on in the house. Here, let me get the door.
Thanks.
You certainly handled yourself well in that thing.
I practice every day.
Bill's had a spinal injury, George. He can't walk. I wish you didn't feel you had to wash whenever you shake hands with someone.
He isn't just someone.
For heaven's sake, George, the man's not diseased. He's had a back injury.
How could she bring a man like that into this house? Now, I don't care what anyone thinks. She's not going to marry him. Not if I can do anything about it.
Well, how long are you going to stay in the kitchen? You're making yourselves very clear by your absence, you know.
You've got your nerve bringing that man into this house.
Why are you doing this?
Well, what do you expect? You bring a cripple into the house and tell me you're going to marry him?
Please, keep your voice down. He doesn't have to hear this. He has a disability. He can't help it.
I can't help it either. A whole world of normal people to choose from, and you pick someone like that.
Normal? What's normal? Who's perfect? Maybe Bill can't use his legs, but so what? You think you're normal? If you broke your glasses, you couldn't find your way to the bathroom.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Glasses. For heaven's sake, half the world wears glasses.
Oh, it's a matter of numbers, then. If more people were in wheelchairs, Bill would be more acceptable.
Look, you're still going to have to live in society, and most people think the way I do. Now, how's your Johnny out there going to support you for the rest of your life, huh? Your mother tells me he's a pianist in a saloon.
So what's wrong with that? He's also a composer and arranger. He knows where he's going, which is more than you can say about most people.
Well, I don't know how he got that job, but I can tell you this. There wouldn't be any wheelchair cases in my business.
Why? Why?
Because I am the way I am, and I'm not going to change. Now, when I see somebody like that, I don't know whether to look at his feet or his eyes are out the window. I'm uncomfortable, embarrassed. I feel he's jealous because he's not the way I am. I don't want to have to feel sorry for anyone or be afraid I'm going to catch something. I just don't want to be put in the position of having to understand these people.
Jenny, I can appreciate your feeling sorry for Bill, even wanting to take care of him. But I can't see you sacrificing yourself to bring a little cheer into his life.
Look, I feel sorry for the kid. I really do. But he should be among his own where he won't have to compete with normal people.
You're dreadful, both of you. I never thought I'd hear such stupidity from my own parents.
We may sound stupid to you, but I suggest you give a lot of thought to this situation.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Dad, don't you think I have already?
Well, then give it some more. What kind of friends can you have? What do they think about all of this?
I can't believe this. Bill is a functional human being. We have all kinds of friends, and they don't look at him as a special case to feel sorry for.
Well, he is a special case. And I'll tell you something else. Your mother and I have a perfect right to expect grandchildren. Now, I never talk much about it because I didn't think it was my place to discuss it with you. But sex is a heck of an important part of marriage. And what I'd like to know is what kind of sex life you can expect from half a man.
Well, you can wonder all you want. If Bill and I want kids, we'll have them, one way or another. I find it just as difficult to talk to you about these things. Look, I think you ought to know that most people with disabilities live relatively normal lives. Oh, what's the use? I never should have come home.
Oh, Jenny, I'm sorry. Your father and I can't help the way we feel. At our age, it's
difficult to change.
Oh, please, Mother, what has age got to do with bigotry?
Now we're bigots, huh? Well, that may be, but I never thought you'd ask our blessing so you could marry a...
Cut it out!
Jenny, honey, please. We only want the best for you. How can you expect us to approve your marriage to such a person?
I don't need approval. I'm 27, and I'll marry anyone I damn please.
Don't you dare take that tone to us.
If Bill isn't welcome in this house, then I'm not either. Jenny, please, come back.
Nobody, but nobody gives me an ultimatum. I don't care if she's my daughter or not. I won't be dictated to. If Bill isn't welcome in this house, then I'm not either. Well, he's not welcome, and he never will be.
George, if she leaves now, we may never see her again. Please.
I suppose you heard everything.
How could I help it? Your whispering could have awakened the dead.
I'm sorry.
Forget it.
Jenny, your mother and I would like to talk to you.
I don't think there's anything to talk about. We'd like to leave, if you don't mind.
Well, then go ahead and leave, if that's what you
want. Hold it, everybody. I've been sitting here listening to you. Now I think you owe me the courtesy of hearing me.
Look.
Okay?
I have nothing against you, but my problem is with my daughter, and I'd appreciate it if you'd keep out of it.
For heaven's sake, George, let the man speak his mind.
How is that going to change anything?
Please, George. I've let you do all the talking so far because mostly I've agreed with you. But I can't stay quiet when you refuse to listen to the other side of the story.
Well, go ahead, say your piece.
Oh, what's the point?
Maybe none, but he ought to hear it anyway. You see, Mr. Baker, I don't feel out of anything. I feel more inconvenienced than handicapped.
Some inconvenience.
Well, I'd be put out a lot less if people would be a little more thoughtful.
Thoughtful? I hope you're not accusing me. I can't even look at you people and not think about your problems.
So your solution is to keep us out of sight so you won't feel that way, is that it?
Oh, come on.
Let me tell you something. Disabled people are like everybody else. For most of us, there's no constant misery that hangs over us. A person can't live like that and survive. Everyone develops his own potential, no matter who they are. What I did was limit my ambition to something I could do sitting down. What's so terrible about that? My God, lawyers, artists, accountants, politicians, there are a million things a man can do, even if he's disabled.
You're not going to change human nature.
George.
Beethoven couldn't hear a thing when he wrote his Ninth Symphony. Toulouse Lautrec painted like a giant, but he was a dwarf. People are like oysters. Sometimes a grain of irritation can make a pearl. Do you understand? I feel sorry for you, Mr. Baker. We can go now, Jenny.
I'll hold the door.
Oh, George, what have you done?
What did you say? What have I done? Where were you all the while this was going on?
I tried to stop you. You know I can't stand that kind of dissension.
So you stay out of it and I become responsible for everything.
I can't do anything as long as you feel the way you do.
Well, I don't care what you say. I'm cutting her out of my will.
And what will that accomplish?
Well, you saw that man. Now, what kind of a marriage can they have?
Well, maybe it isn't any of our business.
Oh, you're out of your mind. And you remember, if I leave my money to her, I leave it to him, too. Now, maybe you don't care about that either, but that's not what I worked for all my life. No way, lady. No way.
In the end, what we are is a bundle of all the things we've been. A little of our mothers and fathers, a few of the jokes we've heard, a part of our friends, a touch of our teachers and what they taught, and probably a weighty measure of newspapers and television. Our heads are containers of opinions, and not one of us is like any other. All our lives, we try, mostly unsuccessfully, to change everybody else's ideas to our own. And poor George. It doesn't seem he can escape himself. Everything's ready for a party, and none of the guests is coming. Jenny and Bill have left the house, maybe never to return, while George and Helen are confronted by what is one of the most important problems of their lives. But there are many ways stories can end, because people under stress are capable of doing acts that are totally alien to their routine behavior. Let's go back to the moment Jenny and Bill are leaving for an alternate ending.
I feel sorry for you, Mr. Baker. We can go now, Jenny.
I'll hold the door.
That was some visit after 3 years.
Well, don't excite yourself.
No, I won't. Comes hard, but I'm getting used to her generation.
Maybe it's all for the best.
Well, I hoped it would be different.
There's nothing we can do about it, George. She's your daughter, and whether you like it or not, she's just like you in a lot of ways.
I don't understand it. I realize she's been away from home a long time, but what about the first 18 years? They've got to count for something.
Of course they do, George.
Well, where are they? Didn't anything of us rub off on her?
Look at it this way. She's independent, ambitious, industrious. She's got a good job. Maybe that's all we should expect.
No, I expect more. Not that I can do anything about it, but I would hope that she'd have inherited some common sense from us. I don't understand her, that's all. I don't see how she can tie herself down to waiting on someone like that. Well, it's her life.
Maybe she knows something we don't.
What can she know? She always brought home stray cats or dogs. Now she brings home a cripple in a wheelchair. Well, we don't need that after all this time.
What do you want to do about the barbecue?
I don't know. It'll burn out. Did you hear what she said? He's a functional human being. Isn't that beautiful?
Well, it's over and done with. I don't see any point in rehashing the whole incident.
You're right. They said enough in 15 minutes to keep me boiling for the rest of my life.
Just forget it. Remember your blood pressure. I'll get up a salad. You want the chicken from last night?
Sure, why not? You got any orange juice?
Whole fridge full. Why don't you sit down and relax with the TV? I'll bring it to you.
You know, in a way, I'm glad they're gone. I'm just not used to having young people around anymore.
Well, in that ending, George and Helen seem determined to bury their frustration. Maybe it's because they can't cope with their own prejudices. But how permanently can they feel this way? If Bill and Jenny are set on getting married, and if George and Helen stubbornly hold on to their old ideas, they lose their daughter. That solves nothing. Let's try another ending.
I feel sorry for you, Mr. Baker. We can go now, Jenny.
I'll hold the door.
Well, that's that. Well, I was right, wasn't I? How long do you think that's going to last?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't think we could have done anything about it. She's not ours anymore.
So we just give up, right?
I couldn't argue with them, George. Somehow a lot of what they said made sense.
I don't know what you're talking about. What made sense? You heard the same drivel I did.
It wasn't all drivel.
It wasn't? Well, then maybe I'm a freak because I wear glasses. Maybe I'm supposed to feel different because I can get up in the morning and jog to my office.
You're being ridiculous.
Oh, now I'm ridiculous, huh? Oh, boy. Lord, just listen to you. Now, 2 minutes ago, you were agreeing with everything I said.
I didn't, and you know it. It was all I could do to get a word in edgewise.
Oh, well, excuse me. I wasn't aware that I overwhelmed you into a corner.
Well, you do. You do it to everyone.
All right, you win. Whole damn thing is my fault. I wanted her to go to New York, right? Huh? I wanted her to get a job there and be away for 3 years, and I wanted her to bring home a crud in a wheelchair, and I wanted her to tell me to drop dead and walk out of here forever. That was all my idea, right?
No, it wasn't. But somehow, you always seem to build arguments to a point where there's no direction for anyone to move but away from you.
Well, the truth of the matter is, they got to you with all that propaganda. I've been hearing cliché stuff like that all my life.
I'll go put out the barbecue.
Oh, I think the whole world's gone crazy. I don't know. I can't think straight anymore. Hello, Grace. Yes, look, something's come up. I'm leaving town for a few days. I'll call next week. Just put everything off until you hear from me. Yes, I'll call when I get back. Goodbye.
Thank you.
feel sorry for you, Mr. Baker. We can go now, Jenny.
I'll hold the door.
Wait a minute. Don't go. Not like this.
Why not? Unless you found another way of hurting us.
Your father's trying to say he's sorry, Jenny. We're all upset, and we've said a lot of things we didn't mean.
All right. So tomorrow, we'll all regret everything we've said. But nobody lied, and there are no secrets between us.
We're all tied up inside, honey. I know that. But what we feel is the result of ideas that were planted in us a long time ago, and they magnify themselves in situations like this. Can't you see that, George? My God, what if it were Jenny who wheeled herself in here less than an hour ago? What if it were Jenny who couldn't walk?
I don't want to lose you, Jenny. I haven't seen you in such a long time. I've missed you so much.
Oh, Daddy.
I'll try, sweetheart. I will. I'll try.
Come on in the living room, everybody.
Yeah. Let's go and hash this thing out, huh? I don't want to waste all those hamburgers cooking out back. How about a martini, Bill?
I don't drink liquor, Mr. Baker.
You don't? Well, good for you.
I'm a health food freak.
Freak nothing. I haven't been able to convince anyone about my ideas on food.
Well, why don't we relax a few minutes before dinner? Anyone care for some fresh orange juice?
I'd love some.
Good idea. Yeah,
that would be great.
I'll bring it right in. Jenny, why don't you come in the kitchen with me and help me serve?
All right, Mother.
I'll get the glasses. The juice is in the fridge.
Thanks, Mother.
You don't have to thank me, honey. Nothing worse could happen to your father than losing you. We'd never get over that. We're really doing this for ourselves. It's so important to make yourself happy.
Well, thank you anyway. Oh, I wish it were as easy for Daddy.
Oh, he'll be all right. He's not going to let you go. I know he'll work harder on this than anything he's ever done. He wants to try, and that's the answer.
That's all you can do, isn't it? Try. George finally must realize that he alone controls the ending to his own situation. Yet, oddly, the entire problem is one over which he has no control. He can keep his daughter only if he remains passive to her ideas and what she wants for herself. Two men, two women, trying. And as many answers as you can imagine. But that's the right way to finish the story. Everyone, trying.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, There, Go I, was written by Shepard Menken and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our star was Tom Bosley. Featured in the cast were Mary Jane Croft, Len Berman, Linda K. Henning, Lucy Taylor, Vivi Janis, and Shepard Menken. The music for radio theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.